Good morning. My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. It is Monday, July 27th. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. How are you doing? I'm waiting for an answer. Nothing. Well, hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully you are free of guilt and shame this morning. Sometimes that is a tough one. I know that I today am free of guilt and shame. And if I started to get a little hint of it, I addressed it. Oh, you know, I sit down, I plug in, I turn this on, and I wonder, you know, what's to talk about today? Sometimes I think, how can you beat a dead horse? But you know what? Surrendering and, you know, living a life of sobriety is a daily basis. You know, it's not like, you know, I fill out a questionnaire and I answer it or a test and I, you know, I pass it and then I'm done. You know, shit keeps showing up every day. And, you know, I thought maybe I would just continue to just keep sharing about my journey. You know, I was watching this, you know, every morning I wake up, I usually get up before everybody and I sit down and I have coffee or whatever. And I just kind of browse through whatever it is through my Facebook or Instagram or my news app or, what, you know, TMZ. TMZ seems to have all the official news. And, you know, I just try to figure out what's going on and just kind of, you know, waste a few minutes, probably a half hour on just garbage. And I somehow got stuck on this, like, Dr. Phil video of this drunk. And this guy just, I mean, just drinking straight out of the vodka bottle, you know. Scars, fat lips, you know, and it just took me back. And it brought some of that old angst and fear and guilt right back to the surface. It wasn't far. It's not far. It's not that deep in there. And I felt for this guy. And I didn't watch much of it. I saw enough. I did. Sometimes I just choose not to waddle in that stuff. But, you know, that was a long time ago. It was a long time ago that I was tilting a vodka bottle up to the sky like that. And, you know, I'm just really grateful that I don't have that going on today in my life. But those memories, they're still there. And, you know, watching people struggle and, you know, live that lifestyle, you know, it brings it up in a bit, and in a second. Pulls it right out. Boom, there it is.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low. That we share, the mountains that we move, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. The wind.
I lost my way. There were so many roads.
That and then I began searching. You know, there was a big portion of being sober, you know, when I got sober, was just following directions, getting in line with the rest of the ducks, doing, you know, what I was told and what the next person next to me was doing. And that worked for a while. You know, that felt good. It felt good, and you know, it was easy. Don't do what I was doing and try to do what the next person next to me is doing. You know, treat people nice. Don't drink. I think don't drink should be first. You know, treat people nice. Be kind. Treat people how I want to be treated. And just kind of hang in there. You know, if you're trying to get sober, I mean, if you really want to get sober, you should be going to a meeting every day. Do you agree? If you don't want to do that, I know for me, I probably didn't really want to get sober. It's such a huge commitment. But it was such a huge problem. And in the beginning, it was easy. I had nothing. I had nothing in my life. I didn't have a girlfriend. I had my parents, I had my brother, and I had my shitty job. And then I had all the crap that came along with the way that I drank. You know, my big drinking audience. And they were very small, too, because the way I drank, not many people could hang that way. You know, some could hang for the first half, but the second half, they faded out. So my group of people that surrounded me was very small and very tainted. So when I got sober, I really walked through the threshold of sobriety with nothing. And I remember when I talked about previously how I checked myself into a hospital. Well, that program, that 5 days where I hid in the hospital, it also had a program that was connected to it, which was a year-long outpatient program. And we met every week. And, you know, I made a couple friends in there. My friend Rick, my friend Tim, and that would be the beginning, you know. That would be the beginning of what it was like to have some sort of life with decent friends. And they're still my friends today, and they're still good people. But that was, you know, but I had nothing to do. And go to a meeting every day seemed like, and you know, I'm also a people pleaser. To a fault. And when Ron M. said, you need to go to a meeting every day, I wanted to make Ron happy. I wanted to appear better. So I followed those directions and I went to a meeting every day. I mean, when I first got sober, we went to a meeting every day. We were taking meetings into a rehab on Thursday nights, Ellendale. It's not a rehab anymore. We took meetings into jails. And I remember going to the jail and all these guys were just like, it was just a big joke. You know? They didn't care. I remember when I was in jail going to meetings. I didn't care. I just wanted that chrono so that I could provide evidence that I'm a better person and maybe I could get out earlier. But nobody cared. It was a big joke, a big social event, laughing, intimidating, you know, sketchy. And I remember telling my sponsor, I said, these guys don't care. I was still, well, of course I was. I mean, early on in my sobriety, I mean, it was really about how do I look to people? And I was only going to this, taking this meeting in to this jail because I wanted to appear better to my sponsor. It wasn't about staying sober. It wasn't about... Actually, I thought that me taking a meeting into the jail would help get people sober. And I said, I don't want to do that meeting anymore. I don't like going in there. They don't care. And Ron said, this isn't about them. This is about you staying sober. This is about doing something that's absolutely inconvenient, something that's absolutely uncomfortable, something that absolutely doesn't feel good. That's what you need to be doing. And if that's what this meeting at the jail does to you, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, I've said this before, meetings aren't supposed to be great. You know, but when I walked through that threshold of sobriety into that first meeting, oh my God, that felt so good. Normal people saying hello, shaking hands, conversations that weren't about scoring or buying whiskey or what I did or how drunk I got. It was about real things. Real newcomers talking about the struggles and me being able to relate. It felt great. Hell yeah, it was awesome. But that starts to wear off. You know, people start to really figure out what I was about. I start figuring out what other people are about. And, you know, after a couple years, a few years, it's not as fun. And that's really when meetings become most important. I don't know if many people, and this is my thought, this is how I think about it, but, you know, I've always said if a meeting's better than what you were doing before you went to the meeting, then you probably need to find a new meeting. I mean, sure, you should enjoy it. Sure, you should have, you know, good evening, you know, know people. But this is about the inconvenience. You know, I don't be an alcoholic. I don't drink the way that I drank. I don't cause as much problems as that I caused and then get to go to some amazing program. That's so much fun. I'm not sure if you can get that, if you understand that, but this is about humility, right? You know, if I'm doing what makes me feel good, then I'm serving self. And I've always said I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. They can't drink. They can't spend too much money. Food, women, all of it. All that is self-serving. But going to a meeting and spending an hour sitting down, drinking shitty coffee in a cold or hot or stinky basement is a reminder that I have a serious, serious issue and that this is my medication. It's like when your kids, you know, your kids are like, can I have some medicine? You know, because it tastes so good, they like it. Like, no, this sucks. Medicine sucks. You're sick. This isn't happiness, you know. And it's just like medicine. You know, meetings aren't supposed to taste good. You know, I've been to, so many bagel meetings, pillow meetings, evening meetings, beach meetings, morning meetings, Indian style meetings, candle meetings, bright light meetings, basement meetings, ship meetings, hotel meetings. I mean, I've been to all of them. But my favorite meeting is when you walk in, there's a coffee pot, a speaker, or just a leader, and just a bunch of fucked up metal chairs. Because that's what this is. Guys, we are fucking alcoholics. We need to take this hour of the day. Guys and ladies, we need to take this hour of the day. Stop doing what we were doing that sobriety has given us, whether it's spending time with our family or enjoying our job or whatever it is, the benefits of getting sober. Stop enjoying that and come suffer for an hour at a fucking meeting. You know, early on I said nothing to say. Because what I wanted to say something that was so profound that was going to save the room. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that. You saved me. That's what I wanted to hear. I didn't want to fumble my words and sound like an idiot and have everybody go, God, keep coming back. So I said nothing. And my first, Ron M was my temporary sponsor, my first sponsor. I said, yeah, you don't have to say anything. I prefer you not to, really. But when you celebrate your first year, you need to sit up front and share. Oh, my God, what a fucking black cloud over my head that was. Tormented me. I'm going to have to sit at the front of the room and speak. And so scared. So nervous. You know, it's like you look at a calendar and you fill in that day red. Scary day. Self was like, don't do it. You're going to fuck self up. Self's going to look like a fool. Don't do it. Self's what's most important, not humility. And I remember I sat up front and I fumbled and babbled my... I think I even said, first person I want to thank is myself for showing, for driving and walking and going to all these meetings. Thank you, self. Good job. Because self said that was important. Say that. Thank yourself. And I remember when it was over, just this huge peace came over me. This wall of self-centered fear that I had become so cozy in came down. Because I was a little bit embarrassed. I was a little bit ashamed. I was a little bit humiliated, so to speak. That's how it felt to me. Humiliation is ego devastation. And that's when the magic happens. It's when the fat person crushes the chair, the drunk gets stitches, the womanizer womanizes, you know, and gets caught. It's all those moments where we're like under the spotlight and we're so full of shame and guilt that all of a sudden that self-centered wall of fear comes down, and then all of a sudden we become available to try to get better. And I always, you know, I'll never forget how that peace that came over me as soon as I said, you know, thank you. That's all I got. Whew. Oh, my God. Thank God. That was like a year of anxiety gone. And, I, you know, there's times that, you know, during sobriety where, you know, I used to try to share at every meeting. And then you go through that period, and then you're like, God, I've shared so much. Nobody, I have nothing new to say. Don't say anything. And then I revert back to this weird self-centered fear thing. You know, it would be nice if you just came in, got sober, and it was just smooth sailing. But it isn't. You know, I mean, I've been sober a long time. I was going to this Wednesday morning meeting. And these guys decided they would put a can on the table that said, if you cuss, you have to put in a quarter. I'm like, well, what the fuck's that about? Who decides that? Is that in the traditions? They always say, if you want to start a meeting, grab a copy of the traditions and go find a spot. You know, they call them traditions. I call them rules. And it doesn't say, you know, we decide to make cans for cussing and, you know, personality starts showing up. And it's a never-ending battle. And that used to drive me crazy, that cuss can. You think they had you think at the first meeting of AA they had a cuss can? You know, from what I heard, you know, there was throwing up, people laying on the floor, sick, you know, just, I mean, these are the freaking, you know, luckily due to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was able to get sober. I didn't have to, as of yet, I didn't have to, you know, drink wine out of a bag and live in the gutter. You know, that's that typical, you know, example. You know, I didn't have to go that low. Yet. It's not done. But I can imagine that first meeting, those were some desperate freaking people. you know, today we think, hey, you know, if I'm alcoholic, I guess I have to go to AA. I mean, we know that there is a solution. But can you imagine before that? You know, there was no solution. You went to a mental home. You got wet brain. Your family slowly watched you die. And today we know that there's a program out there for those who want it. But the program, you know, didn't start off with a cuss can. No vomiting here. What, you need to take a shower if you're coming to this meeting? I mean, I think Bill had people sleeping on the floors. And now today, you know, we shift and shape these things. And now, you know, like I said, bagel meetings. Now we got a cuss can. What do I care? Am I annoyed? Or do I feel like we're losing AA? I don't know. But sometimes shit like that bugs me. And I'm sober. I'm just grateful today that I am sober. I've had this COVID thing. You know, not only can we not go to meetings, we can do Zoom meetings. For some reason, I'm not really digging that. But, you know, we're not going to meetings. And then a lot of stuff is coming in front of us that in the past would usually draw out some sort of opinion or some sort of personality. You know, can you be sober? Can you be free from drinking drugs and still be a complete asshole? I mean, why do I want to be sober? Obviously, I don't want to drink. I don't want to do drugs, but I also want to be a better person. I was looking up this daily reflection for July 27th. We will make every personal sacrifice necessary to ensure the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous. We will do this because we have learned to love God and one another. That's it. Love God, trust faith, and love one another. That doesn't mean like love God as long as God's giving me what I want. I shared this before, you know, Santa and God were pretty much at the same level. My relationship with God was weak at best because God wasn't giving me what I wanted. But, you know, working the steps, I learned to have faith and turn it over to God and take whatever comes and understand that that's just what I get. That's just what I get this time. And love other people. You know, and that's the thing I hated most about this COVID thing is just our relationships with other humans. You know, I was at the grocery store the other day, and this guy was, you know, at the grocery store, they have a big giant mountain of corn. You go over there and you shuck your corn, you put it in the shuckings in the trash can, and then you take your cleaned ears and put them in a bag. And this guy, he had filled up a bag, but he was trying to double bag it, and he was just holding it and trying to get the bag, and I go, here, let me help you. Oh, no, that's okay. And I go, give me the bag. I'll help you. Okay. Like we've forgotten that we want to help one another or the ability to love another person and help. And he was just in shock and I got the bag open. He got the corn in and I go, here you go, man. That's what we used to do. We used to help one another. He goes, you're right. I go, have a great day. You know, I love to be of service to people. Sometimes I love to be of service to people as long as it's convenient. I am not perfect. But inside, through this program, through being sober, through working these steps, through the suffering, the shitty meetings, I like to be of service to people. And sometimes, You know, one of the biggest things I learned with sobriety is sometimes service to people is saying nothing. And that's hard for a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I still struggle with that. Yeah, man. You know, my mom's not feeling well. I'm a little worried about her. Yeah, man, my mom's not feeling well either. Like, you know, sometimes it's just say nothing. Why do I have to turn it around and kind of make it about me? I mean, I've done that for so long, and it's also a tough part about being sober is, you know, but that's conversation. That's always been, you know, how can I relate to your story so we can converse about it? But sometimes it's just, you know, and I found that out the hard way. I think I said something, somebody said something to me, and I, you know, and I, of course, related it with something that went on with me. And this person said, you know, why do you have to make it about you? I just needed someone to listen. And I felt about an inch tall again. So now, you know, sometimes it's best to just say nothing. People like to just vent. That has nothing to do with drinking, right? But I don't know. You know, does that have to do with anything? I mean, you know, we've lived a long time without addressing this. Or maybe we have through church and religion and stuff. It's always something, right? I thought I just had to quit drinking. Super grateful to be sober. What else was that? Did that say? Let me read that some more. We have learned to love God and one another. To be self-supporting through my own contributions was never a strong characteristic during my days as a practicing alcoholic. The giving of time or money always demanded a price tag. As a newcomer, I was told we have to give it away in order to keep it. As I began to adopt the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in my life, I soon found it was a privilege to give to the fellowship as an expression of my gratitude I felt in my heart. My love of God and of others became the motivating factor in my life. With no thought of return, I realize now that giving freely is God's way of expressing himself through me. Good stuff right there. Good stuff. I hope I can read that. I'm probably going to get in trouble.
I'm sorry.
I am sorry. Whatever. It's a great message. It's a great message. What's the time? How are we doing? What do we got going on here? Well, it's almost up. Our time is up. But once again, listen, thank you. Thank you for listening. If you're listening, I appreciate it. You know, if you're out there struggling with alcohol or drugs, you know, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to get sober, you know, find a meeting. It doesn't take rehab. Maybe. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to give any bad advice. Maybe rehab is good. I don't know. I know that if I don't want to drink and I want to go to a meeting, there are plenty of people there that'll have a handout for me. Try it. But unfortunately, it usually takes some humiliation, ego devastation, and we try to avoid it. But sometimes it is the key to the kingdom. Key to the kingdom. Have a great day.